I'm John Bond. Welcome to Move Yourself Happy. Made for fitness enthusiasts who want to make their passion their profession. Are you unhappy in your present job? Are you passionate about health and fitness? Do you want to release your true potential? If the answer is yes, this podcast is for you. I will be teaching you the specific knowledge that every trainer and coach needs to be successful. So listen closely as I share my expertise with you. So just like me, you can love what you do.
Joe, thank you for coming back on. I know we had to cut you short last time because you had to go teach, and you know, very kind of you to come back on and continue with the... I was going to call it an interview.
It's not an interview, though, because I was listening to a podcast the other day and they said, it's like you're having an interview. So it's like you want to be prepared for these things. And I was like, yeah, I want to be prepared for mine. But then you just go off subject, don't you?
Yeah, you just go into a chat, don't you? Yeah. So when we last had you on, you were talking about your journey into the fitness industry. You were big on group exercise, all the Les Mills body training system stuff. You were very interested in the sort of social side of group exercise and the enjoyment of it. And we've talked off camera before about kind of your philosophy or belief in how exercise is great for mental health. So I kind of wanted to go there. Tell us about your experience personally from how exercise has benefited your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, massively. I've always, like a big thing that happened in my life was that my father passed away when I was 15. He got diagnosed, he had a brain tumour, and he got diagnosed 3 years before that, and he then had a big operation, and then unfortunately it all came back, and there was no way forward. So yeah, he died when I was 15, and I think I'd always been into like different sports, so like outdoor sports, obviously like PGL trips that my mum took me on and stuff like that. And then I don't know what turned, and then I got into more individual sports and started to run more, and that has definitely been a massive, well, like now running and lifting more is my like go-to for exercise that will, I know it's going to make me feel better. There's not one time that I won't go for a run and think, well, there are runs that I'm like, that wasn't the best run, I wasn't in my peak performance. But mentally, it's always put me in a better place. Mm. So once I've been in the outdoors, once I've been in nature, once I've got my heart rate to elevate, once I get that dopamine, I always feel better from exercising. And that might be, sometimes it's not obviously running, it's other things. So I love yoga and I love body balance. So sometimes I really want to go into that mindful place and that quieter spot. But yeah, quite a lot of the time, I just always feel better when I move. Mm. So I'm so passionate about that. It's like I can be having a really tough time, but I have to get over things and to cope with things, I have to keep moving forward. Yeah. So I feel like if I stop, how's that gonna help me move forward? So it's like a barrier that, to me, just doesn't exist. You've got to keep moving forward. Yes, you've got to sit in that time that's difficult, but I've got to keep moving forward.
God, that resonates with me a lot.
Yeah.
I do, yeah. I imagine anyone listening is probably thinking the same. I get where she's coming from there. So, just going back to, if you're happy to talk about
of course.
The grief side of things.
Yeah.
Because all my research and stuff that I've looked into to do with exercise and mental health, actually none of it, when I think about it, it's not until you said it, none of it makes any reference towards like grief. It's all generally, a lot of the stuff is looking at sort of anxiety and depression, which I know is part and parcel of grieving, but grieving's a process, isn't it? You have to go through the process. But did you find that exercise helped with that process?
Yeah, massively. Yeah, because I don't know, you can just... At that time, when I was 15, it was actually massively... So when Dad died, it was that I played a lot of basketball, netball, and I went county level. And that was, I don't know, it sounds wrong, but the aggression side of it. So the ability to be able to leg it around on the court and push people and barge people. it helped me cope with a massive part of anger that I had inside me that my dad had gone. And I didn't want to take it out on other people. Of course, I didn't want to take it out on other people. But to channel that aggression, so it was like channeled aggression into a sport. And I definitely did that when I was 15, 16. And it, yeah, I cut my hair off. I put my hood up. I really struggled doing my GCSEs, like big time. I got there, but it was very hard. And yeah, definitely sport was a way that I could channel inner things. So lots going on in the brain, like monkey chatter was massive. And I didn't want, at that time, I didn't take any therapy. So St. Barnabas, you get free therapy. And I didn't take it at that time. I think I was too vulnerable and too young. But later when my, because unfortunately my stepdad also passed away from a brain tumour, and that was in 2020. So Mike Jack, big shout out to Mike Jack, Mike, Chris Hendy's favourite teacher. But he passed in 2020 of a brain tumour that was a different type of tumour. But where was I going with that? Because I've got distracted. That was individual sports I went into when Mike taught me to run a lot.
Different methods and modes for almost dealing with grief.
Yeah, it was. So when Mike passed, it was all... He taught me to run when I was 17. Oh, yeah, my journey of life of years. So my dad passed when I was 15, and I sort of coped with that around 15, 16. I coped with it, I say, as much as I could cope with it. He never coped with it. It never goes away, but... You cope with it. And then Mike died when I was 38, so in 2020. And that was I don't know, to go through that massive grief again was major.
Yeah, first time's major, isn't it? Second time is.
Yeah. And so they just massively affected, they were big characters in my life. Obviously, it's my father, and it was my stepfather. So those characters not being in my life affected me, but I think I tried to channel it in a way that I could come out a better person.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So it didn't... What do they say? It called... I can't think of the word. It begins with D. About how it... how it puts, like, something on you and makes you that type of person. It, like, makes your future what it is. Can't think of the word.
Oh.
It'll come to me, John.
Yeah,
it'll
come to you, don't worry. that's so interesting. So the, because obviously different types of exercise do have different benefits. And exercise and mental health is like multi-dimensional. Because you can get a boost from exercise just simply by experiencing the challenge and discomfort of it, because you'll get your natural endorphins, so that'll give you some sort of euphoric feeling from that. So you can get that from going doing a tough run. But then you've also, like you mentioned about the mindfulness stuff, like doing yoga and things, which is more probably controlling your obviously breathing, but focusing on the moment, the now, and not thinking, not being up in your head so much.
Yeah, I find it harder to be stiller. So like when I've done, because I do a lot of cold water like therapy as well, and I play around with sea swimming, and I find it hard to be still in a pod. I much prefer to be in the body of water, because I feel like I can move and I've still got space around me. In a pod I feel closed and I don't like it. I like being in a room and getting out. When it's a nice day and we're inside going...
climbing the walls. Is there different feelings you experience from different types of exercise? So, like, if you picture yourself now on a run on the downs, how does that make you feel?
It just makes me feel alive. It just makes me feel like I can conquer things. Like, what's that famous? I'm really rubbish at explaining things. There's a famous... So Mike taught me it about the courage and wisdom and knowing the difference between the two. So have the courage to... I should have written this down.
We can put it in the notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the notes, because it's a really good... But knowing the difference between what you can control, what you can't control, and what you're going to do about the... And accept, and then what you're going to do about the here and now.
That is a good quality to have, isn't it? Definitely. Because my understanding of, like, with the word courage or bravery, it's not actually... It's not being fearless. It's feeling the fear and still moving forwards and still progressing. So I suppose much like... what you're doing, you're still grieving. Like, yeah. You're still in pain. It's still a process you've got to go through. But yeah. I love what you said there about, but just channel it, move forwards, progress, keep moving.
Oh, I took therapy. So I didn't take therapy for Dad when I was younger. But then when I was older, when Mike passed at 2020, I did have some therapy through St Barnabas, which you get offered, which at 12 meetings of therapy. And it was quite interesting, actually. But really interesting, and I really liked it, and I really appreciate the fact that you get some, you know, after thought of a therapy. But I still haven't dug deep into going right back, and I still find it really difficult. And when I hear music, quite often when I'm teaching slower things, it will get me, and I'm like, I can't talk here, and it gets really awkward at times because luckily, it's something you can be present in, and I sort of just go quiet, and then I just let it ride. But sometimes it's really difficult. Like, I hear a piece of music and I think, bloody hell.
I'm about to have a coughing fit. Look at this.
Don't worry, he's not dying, guys. He's not dying.
It was distracting me because I had that tickle. Let me just... Sorry about that. So when you're saying you feel like alive when you're on the downs and you're running, you feel like you can overcome obstacles.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it does do that to me.
I can definitely, that definitely resonates with me. I know from having conversations with other people it does.
I just think clearer. So if I do it, if I don't get outside to get the dog out in the morning, or if I don't go for a run, I really struggle to sit first. But if I do something first and active, I can then sit and be quiet and channel things.
Yeah.
Or focus in work I have to do, or a post I have to do, or something I've got to learn, something I've got to mark, you know, all these different things. But I can't get up and do it. I'd have to move first in some way. Swim, water, walk, run, strength.
Yeah.
Not so much the strength early mornings. I'd rather do that later.
Do you find, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, you feel like things take a bit
longer
to warm up.
I can't run in the evenings either. I literally can't run in the evenings.
No, I'm not enough. But do you, I'm picturing you running on the... I say picturing you, I've seen you.
Yeah.
I've bumped into you. But I've seen you on the downs running. And when you're up there, you can look over, you can see the sea, can't you? And you can see Findon Valley, and you can see Worthing and Durrington, etc. Do you think some of it, as well, as it's kind of putting things into perspective a little bit?
Oh, massively.
And obviously, God, you know, not to minimise grief, because that's a different animal. That's just, you know, a lot of the stress and things that might make us worry and get depressed can, when we rationalise them, seem trivial. I don't put that in that category, by the way. That's something completely different. But work things can sometimes be a bit trivial when we stop breaking them down and rationalising them. And then when you're up on the downs and you're looking over and you're going, okay, you know, putting things in perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm quite, my world's quite small, really. Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at everything around me.
Yeah, definitely.
And the
I
nature.
Quite often think about being a drone, because obviously drones are used. Like being a fly on the wall, but then, like, you're this... And then all these people must look so little when you, like, look down.
Yeah.
When you're higher.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, look at these little things. What are they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, have you seen those videos where they zoom out of Earth? So they like zoom out of a person till it's like in the town, then it's the city, then it's the county, then it's the country, and then it's in space, and then you're like in the solar system, the galaxy, and then you're like, wow, yeah, we really are insignificant, aren't we? It's just a way of giving you that sort of perspective. So with that kind of, you know, you're on the downs, do you think nature plays a part in this as
massively,
well?
Massively, yeah.
It's like nature. Looking at the...
Because I always horse rode as well from the age of about 12. So I used to event. So I used to do. So eventing is dressage, cross country, and show jumping. So I think that was a big way of. I don't know, if you learn to look after animals when you're younger, which I did from when I was younger with rabbits and guinea pigs and etc. Then obviously when I got bored of swimming when I was 12, and I said to Mum, I want to start riding. So I started riding a horse.
It's all right, it's still going.
And, then my mum came back into riding a horse, which was really nice. She used to have one back in the day. And then when I started to ride, and then she got Then we loaned a horse, then we bought a horse. So it brought my mum back into horse riding, which was cool. Mm. And I think the openness is similar to running. It's the freedom. Like, I like open fields and I don't like small tracks or roads because I feel like almost a hamster in the cage.
Yep.
So treadmills, honestly, I don't know. I won't hardly go. If I have to go on a treadmill, I will, to do like a fitness test or something, but I'm very much I'll get it outside.
Yeah, more of a free spirit, want to be out there. Yeah. No, I get that.
I can't.
Definitely.
I wouldn't feel the same if I ran on a treadmill and if I did a run outside, no way.
No, well, no, they don't compare, do they? You're right, treadmill sometimes needs mask, whatever, it serves a purpose.
Yeah, it serves a purpose.
You know, but actually, you generally want to always choose the outdoors
over. So nature, massively, yeah, and open space. When I'm on a horse, it's just like that power. I love the power of a horse underneath me, so I used to love that. It's like strong animal, sometimes too strong.
I think sometimes with that as well, because, you know, obviously when you stroke animals, you get oxytocin. So I suppose having that contact with the animal and the trust, there's going to be oxytocin there as well, which you wouldn't necessarily get if you're just going for a run on your own.
No.
You might get it if you go for a run with a friend and you bond, you have some good conversation and you know, but you're bonding with the animal. So I reckon you're going to get the oxytocin. But also, like, that's a skill. So as you're feeling yourself getting better at the riding of the horse and the control of it, I imagine you're probably getting serotonin as well from just feeling like you're better, like self-efficacy sort of stuff. Ticks a lot of boxes, doesn't it, riding a horse?
It does.
I need to learn.
Yeah, you need to learn. That's what you have to learn.
I did the last one on a horse. We did, me and Samantha went for what do they call it when you go for
A hack.
Hack, there we go. I don't even know what that word means, but they called it a hack. And these two people took us out around sort of Finland and that, and they dropped us at the pub and took the horses away for us, just left us at the pub.
Really?
Yeah, it's all part of the package.
That's very good.
It was great, yeah. And we got something to eat, and it was a great little day afternoon. But must get into it some more. So that's great. So that's what. So you got horse riding there as well. You mentioned about like yoga, more therapeutic stuff. Do you think there's a different type of, whether you want to call it a buzz or reward or something you get from doing that versus running, horse riding?
Yeah, the calmness, the stillness, the calmness and the flexibility and mobility. Mm. So alongside all the higher impact things that we do and obviously getting a little bit older, I notice how much I need to stretch more because things get tight, like Achilles, like, you know, when you're get up in the morning and Achilles are tight. Do you get that or not?
Not my Achilles, no, but pretty much everything else.
My calves and my glutes and my hammies. It's really good for you.
Yeah. It's that calmness, that sort of relaxed chillness.
But the calmness, the stillness and just being stiller and being present in that space, I find challenging, but in my last 5 years, I've definitely, I don't know if it's age that's gone into that, but I've been 42 today, by the way.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
But I've definitely gone into, I don't know, allowing myself to be present in that moment. But I do find it challenging. But I love it. When I can go there, I love it. And I'd go there more if I had more time in the day. I would definitely go there.
That's where a PT for that would be, because a lot of personal trainers have personal trainers or they've had personal training.
I would love to go to yoga because I've got so much more to learn about being still.
And they force you to do that, don't they?
Yeah. And if I've got that time on the mat and I had that time on the mat and I knew I was going into that hour space, I want to go to, because I've been to swim at Sea Lanes in Brighton and they've got the outside, it's a 50-metre pool now, which is lovely, amazing, South Down Leisure, shout out. And they've got a sauna there made now. And so you can have a swim and a steam, a swim and a sauna. And the sauna's amazing because you can sit out and see Brighton and you're right there. And then you can dip, which I've done as well. So you go in the hot, go in the cold, go back in the hot. And it's massive temperature change.
Yeah, but, blood vessel dilation.
Yeah, there is a lot going on there. But the difference between the hot and the cold is amazing. The difference of being, I like the stillness and the quiet time in a different temperature as well. I like hot yoga as well. So if I'm
I stretch a lot in the steam, actually. People are quite often like going, but I find it really good to stretch when I'm really hot. I find it really hard to stretch when I'm cold. I can't just get down on the floor and go into a stretch. I'd have to be warm, ready in the moment, or like tonight I'll teach spin at lanes and then I go in the steam, then I have a stretch, then I go in a cold shower.
Get your money's worth.
Yeah, get my money's worth.
I'll have the salary and I'll have the sauna. I'll have the
100%.
Yeah, you might as well, definitely. The if we go somewhere for us, so I don't mind admitting, I like a cheeky spa.
Yeah, I like I love a spa.
Yeah, I love it. When we book, when we go somewhere, we're with Vitality, so we get discounted.
Yeah,
Japanese.
I'm with Vitality as well.
Should get a commission for that if Vitality are listening. But yeah, you get the discounted Japanese days. And I love it because when you go somewhere like that, the environment is set up for you to chill and relax. Mm. You know, I would never take my phone into one of those environments because that just to me is kind of rude. You know,
You
know, this is supposed to be a chilled environment. And who's this motherfucker on his phone? You know?
You're not allowed them a lot in a lot.
No, exactly.
Like David Lloyd and stuff, you're not allowed your phone.
So you're like forced to relax, aren't you? You're like, just relax. Yeah. You've got no phone, this is
no
environment. And you actually, you go, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
And they have those beds, don't they? Have you been on one? Yeah. Like, I always wake myself up snoring sometimes. Yeah.
Just the chilled beds.
Well, there's a few, the water beds. So I've fallen asleep on those many a time. Yeah. And it's such lovely sleep, isn't it? I don't know why. It's like bonus sleep.
It's literally like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like sleep you wouldn't normally get. So this is just a bonus. And you're like, oh, this is so nice. So you're right. It is a totally different feeling. That kind of relaxation stuff. So my sports science guys that I teach, we're doing psychology, and one of the parts of that module is the benefits of exercise on mental health.
Yeah.
And we're getting to assess their mood before and after exercise, and every week we do a different exercise. And then we do a T-test using some software to see if there is a significant difference between their mood before and after. And one of the biggest, most significant differences in their mood was when we did a 30-minute stretching session.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we've got them lying down, relaxed, just gentle stretching. And that was we've done boxing, we've been outside, we've done hiking, we've done loads of cool stuff. And it's all made a difference, but stretching was the one that made the biggest difference.
Really?
Yeah, now from what, obviously, you can critique the hell out of that from a study point of view, because they kind of knew what I was doing. That would influence the result. Mm. The sample size is like 10, so it's a small sample. But, you know, it's things to consider. And actually, maybe that's just their preference. And it's first thing in the morning. That might factor in.
Yeah.
If you did the exercise late in the day, maybe. But I still think it's interesting that stretching, so people like you and I, if we had trainers that stretched us every evening after work, you'd probably just really enjoy that evening.
I'd pay for someone to stretch me weekly if I had. Dollar
extra
spent,
extra spons, yeah. I know. I often think that you won the lottery. Would you just have a full time trainer that you just whatever you need, you know, stretch me, run me, just beat me. I don't know.
Definitely. Have you been to Turkey and had a Turkish spa?
No.
Yeah, it's good. They throw all sorts at you and then they smack you and
Well, like liquor
and all these
salts.
Throw water, like throwing like big tubs of water over you.
Really?
Like Turkish bars, yeah.
Have you got teeth?
Yeah.
Oh. First time. Right, let's finish.
We'll carry on.
Just realise the time flies by, doesn't it? Right, we'll get you back on. We'll finish this conversation again.
There's more to be done.
It's going to be like 20 instalments. But yeah, cheers, Joe. And we'll continue this. And happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Joe. Take care. Have a good day.
Now, if you enjoyed today's episode, something you can do for me is subscribe to my show. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in this content, then please share it with them too. You can also head over to our socials and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. But if you're ready to take that next step, visit our website, www.stormfitnessacademy.co.uk, fill out a contact form, that'll come straight to me. I will contact you shortly afterwards, and I look forward to speaking to you then.